Hello, guys. Today we are back on the Move the Chains podcast, back with Thomas Gorski. Today we are talking about the Bills 2020 schedule. So we're going to be going over the same things, guaranteed W's, losses, longest win streak, longest losing streaks, and basically go from there. So you ready to do this, Thomas?
I'm ready. You know, let's get going, man. The Buffalo Bills are going to be a very exciting team this season.
Yeah, very exciting, interesting, and, you know, I'm excited to see what they got this year.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Tom Brady out of the division, I mean, it's really their division to lose. I mean, they should finish first place.
For sure. That's what I see them as, too. So, just to start off here, looks like Bills key additions. We got Stephon Diggs, obviously, from Minnesota. Couple rookies, AJ Espinosa, Jake Fromm. They also got Josh Norman, Mario Addison, just to name a few from free agency. So if I'm missing anybody, you can let me know as well.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think, look, because they were very limited on draft capital due to the Stephon Diggs trade. I believe they only had like 5 draft picks total.
Right.
And free agency, I believe the only guy they signed was like Josh Norman. I think they brought back EJ Gaines. Yep. Starlo Lotuve, but I think he was on their team last year.
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty very much limited same. On free agency stuff. So we'll get right into this then.
Let's do it.
First week, September 13th versus the New York Jets.
I'm going to give this a win. You know, I think you're at home to start the year. There's going to be a lot of excitement with the Stephon Diggs acquisition. And then in the backfield, you have Devin Singletary with Zach Moss. So I think, and, you know, New York is just paper. They just look bad. I mean, they went after as many free agents as they could, but they started signing like second tier to third tier offensive linemen to first tier money. You know, I think Sam Darnold's going to have a very long day, a very long season due to the offensive line and lack of weapons on offense. You know, they added Denzel Mims, you know, but he's not going to be their number one receiver right away. He's going to take a year or so to develop. So I think to start off the season, it's just going to be an L. You know, I'll do a prediction of 24-13 Bills.
Okay. Yeah, I have the Bills winning as well. I think New York is a pretty easy team to start off with. I mean, sure, they have some talent here and there, but I don't think it's enough to, you know, put it all together, especially for the first week to get acclimated. And yeah, I feel like Buffalo, you know, if they can get everything together within these couple weeks here, I know it's been pretty crazy with everything in Minneapolis and stuff, but I mean, the whole 2020 off season has been pretty crazy. So yeah, I have the Bills winning this one. All right, and then week two at Miami. So starting off, one home game and then one away game.
Yeah, you know, at Miami, you know, I think Miami is going to be a lot tougher than people think this year. You know, I really want to give Miami the win here, but, you know, I still think Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be the quarterback for at least the first 3 to 4 games. So I think Buffalo should win this game fairly easily. You know, Miami, they added a lot of guys in the draft who aren't going to help them right away. You know, Tua's going to sit. Austin Jackson's 20 years old. You know, he might be forced to start for them at left or right tackle just because they pretty much got rid of everyone when they just traded guys left and right. Started off with Laremy Tunsil last year, and they dealt him and Kenny Stills to the Texans. And then their third first round pick, it was like Noah Igbinogu or something, I believe. He was a corner from Auburn.
And, yeah, something like, you know, that.
Yeah, there was no need to really take him. I thought he was a reach. So because, you know, you got Xavier Howard, you have newly acquired Byron Jones, you know, so unless he's playing nickel for him, which is probably my guess. You know, Miami's just about a year or two away. They'll probably finish roughly 6-10 to 7-9. But, you know, I think Miami's going to lose this game, and I'm going to give the Bills a win.
Okay. Yeah, I have the Bills winning as well. Miami, you know, they're, like you said, they're still a little bit away from, you know, getting you know, being like a winning team. I could see them also finishing like a, you know, 8-8, you know, something below that as well. So
yeah, we'll see. I actually think that's a success for them, for as bad as they were last year and everyone they lost. I mean, going 8-8, 9-7 should be their goal for the upcoming season.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, that's an upgrade, especially over last year, like you said. Yeah, we'll see how they do. Hopefully Tua starts. I would like to see how he plays in the NFL and, you know, see where he goes from there.
Exactly.
And then we got week 3 versus the Los Angeles Rams at home.
No, this is tough because I feel like both teams are fairly similar. You know, I feel like I think Josh Allen and Jared Goff match up fairly well. But, you know, the Bills are home, and I'm going to trust the Bills defense more than the Rams. And I'm going to go with a Bills win pretty much just because, you know, you don't know what you're getting out of the Rams run game. You know, Jared Goff, he's the type of quarterback where he needs everything perfect around him, where Jared Goff could be a top 10 quarterback if he has a run game going, the receivers get open, you know, there's not a lot of pressure, you know, he doesn't get hit early. But, you know, I think the Bills' defense is going to wreck the Rams' offense in this game, because I think the Bills have the best defense in football up there with Chicago. Okay. And I just think Jared Goff's going to have a very long day, you know, and their defense is not nearly as good as it was years back, the Rams' defense. So, you know, I think this could be a big Josh Allen day. You know, I don't think Stephon Diggs will do anything special. I don't think he's going to have a lot of explosive games. I think he'll be solid. But, you know, I think this could be a big Devin Singletary type of game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, with the Rams losing Todd Gurley to the Falcons, I mean, I don't see the Rams having a rushing game either. And to leave heavily on Jared Goff, I don't see that panning out very well. The Rams' defense, I mean, they have Jalen Ramsey, but I mean, Michael Brogdon.
Yeah, Ramsey and Donald.
Donald as well. I mean, they don't have all the pieces to be there, but they're still a okay defense. But I do see Buffalo squeaking this one out as well. So since it is at home.
Yep.
And then I think that's pretty much it for week 3. And then, two away games. First one is Sunday, October 4th at the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, it's the Raiders' new stadium. You know, there's going to be a lot of hype for the Raiders this year. I think this is going to be the Bills' first loss. You know, I trust the Bills a lot more at home than on the road. Yeah. And I think the Raiders, added a lot of key pieces this offseason. You know, I thought they did fairly good for the draft. You know, I thought Damon Arnette was a reach in the first round at 19th overall. You know, taking a 24-year-old in the first round is a little risky, in my opinion, because there's not a lot of upside. But, you know, adding Henry Ruggs to that offense to go with Tyra Williams, Nelson Aguilar, Hunter Renfro, you know, the receiving core is deep. You got Darren Waller at tight end. You have Josh Jacobs in the backfield. And Derek Carr is still at least a top half quarterback in the league, I would say.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the Raiders are going to be a tough team at home. You know, they always play tough in the black hole. But, you know, I think the Bills are going to – I still think they're – you know, they're a great team, but I still think they're just under of an elite team where they could figure out how to win these road games consistently. So I think this will be their first loss.
Okay, so the Raiders winning against the Bills. Yeah, I could see this one going either way. Like you said, the Bills have their inconsistencies on the road. You know, this one, I could have either a win or a loss. But to pick one, I kind of agree with you having a loss for the Bills, just being so inexperienced. And, you know, still early in the season to not have maybe everything put together. I could see maybe in the middle part of the season or late where, you know, everything is just finally molding together, squeak out some games. But yeah, the Raiders do have quite a good looking roster on paper. We'll see if that's all put together, who they cut, you know, before the season starts, stuff like that. So yeah, we have Bills losing against the Raiders. And then the next away game is October 11th at Tennessee.
All right, you know, I think this is going to be another loss. You know, I think Tennessee's tough. You know, I think Tennessee is a little weak on the road, but, you know, when Tennessee's at home, they're a very tough ball club. You know, you have Ryan Tannehill coming back. Is he elite? No, but he's good enough to win you games in this league. Derrick Henry is going to be pounding the rock. You got A.J. Brown at wide receiver. Jonnu Smith is a potential breakout candidate at tight end. The defense is still top 10, arguably top 5 to 7. You know, I just don't see Josh Allen being able to go on the road to Tennessee against that defense and being able to put up 21 to 28 points, because Derrick Henry is going to probably have a touchdown or two, minus Ryan Tannehill, what he does in the air. So, you know, I just think this is going to be a tough matchup for the Bills on the road because they are such a young team. So I'm going to give them back-to-back losses here.
Okay. I see the Bills maybe squeaking this one by as a W. I know I saw somewhere that said, you know, Ryan Tannehill was statistically the best quarterback last year.
But, yeah, you know, had the NFL's highest QBR, but he only played like – he only started like 10 games.
Yeah, that's right. That's why it's, you know, so high, because of the limited amount of games, snaps, stuff like that with Mariota out. And, you know, Tennessee had something special going into the playoffs last year during the playoffs. You know, beating the Patriots, the Ravens, and then losing to the Chiefs. But, you know, I don't see them redoing that anytime soon or even this season. So, yeah, I have the Bills winning against the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
Let's see. The next home game is against the Kansas City Chiefs. Night game, Thursday night.
Yep, you know, I'm actually going to give them a win here. You know, I know everyone's very high in Kansas City. I am as well. But, you know, they're not going to go 16-0. You know, you have to lose here and there. You know, I still think they'll go 12-4, 13-3 on the year. But they're going to lose a road game. So, and I think traveling to Buffalo, you know, it's going to get a little bit colder. You know, Buffalo's not an easy place to play. So I think, you know, I love Mahomes. Don't get me wrong. They added Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You still got Tyreek Hill. You've got Kelce. You got Mecole Hardman. You got Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Ryan. I mean, you got weapons all over the field. But, you know, I think it came down to the defenses. I'm a favorite Buffalo because, you know, if Buffalo could just hold the Kansas City offense to under 21 points and Josh Allen could go and put up at least two touchdowns, you know, maybe they get a rushing touchdown from Zach Moss or Devin Singletary, and then you kind of rely on the defense. You know, the Bills are going to need to win close games against these big teams and really rely on that defense. So, you know, I could see Buffalo pulling this out with like a late field goal and pulling the upset against Kansas City, like 24-21 kind of scenario. So I'm going to give this a win for Buffalo.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I have Buffalo losing this one, actually. I see the Chiefs just being really dominant again this year. Maybe a drop-off, but Chiefs, I feel like they've got what they need for missing pieces to, you know, get through the season or I don't know. I just see the Chiefs, you know, being dominant again. So,
I mean, when you have Patrick Mahomes, I mean, it's like how Rodgers was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Just the fact that he's on the field is, you know, you're getting 8 to 10 wins easily just because he's on the field.
Right. Yep. That's, you know, that's you know, the real common answer to say. And, you know, Mahomes is just that good where he's your main focal point against on that offense with that track team of, you know, receivers, good, I would say, running back duo.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Damian Williams. I mean, it's a pretty loaded backfield.
Right. And then, you know, you got one of the better tight ends in the league with Travis Kelce, if not the best. So we'll see how that offense does with, you know, up-and-coming defense as well, getting a little bit better. So, yeah, I have the Bills losing against the Chiefs. All right, and then we'll go next week to a road game against the New York Jets, another division rival.
Yeah, you know, I think this could be a trap game. You know, typically these teams, I believe, split most years.
Yeah.
So, but I'm still going to give Buffalo the win here. I think Adam Gase is going to get fired. You know, I think Sam Darnold's going to come in the question of if he's the future, even though he's pretty much set up to fail in New York. They've given him no help. You know, Le'Veon Bell's just a name at this point.
Yeah.
You know, where, yeah, Le'Veon, like, he's not what he was with Pittsburgh. And you know, him sitting out that year really screwed him over, you know, but he did get his money. So I guess in a way he did win, but he's not the Le'Veon Bell that he once used to be. And I can't see that Jets offense scoring more than 16 points a game, maybe 20 on a good day. You know, the Bills defense is going to shut them down, and I think they're going to win this game, and they're going to go to 5-2 on the year at this point for my prediction.
Yeah, you know, like you said, the Bills and the Jets, they, you know, split most of the times throughout the years. And with Buffalo becoming, you know, not so much of a juggernaut, but, you know, getting better and better with, you know, some good pieces on offense and defense against the Jets, which are, I don't think, in the same tier as the Bills, I would have
they're
going to
have a top five pick. They're going to have a top five pick.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I see the Jets having as well. You know, maybe a top three, but definitely top five to be safe with that. So, yeah, not much to say about the Jets. We'll see what else they do in free agency, if they do anything else, who they cut, you know, who they trade for in the middle of the season or whatever. So, yeah, Le'Veon Bell, you know, I always thought he was one of the better running backs in the league when he was in Pittsburgh. You know, you got the killer bees, but you know, the one piece is left in that killer bee. So, you know, he's aging. He's gonna retire within a couple of years here. So, yeah, I have the Bills beating the Jets once again. All right, and then you have back to back home games. It looks like for the only time on their schedule, the first one is versus the New England Patriots.
Yeah, you know, this is you know, the Patriots have struggled with the Bills in the past, you know, especially in Buffalo, even when they had Tom Brady and all these guys together. And, you know, I think New England is, I don't think they're going to try to tank, but I mean, this team just does not look like they'll do better than 7-9, 8-8. You know, if you're telling me Brian Hoyer or Jared Stidham are going to be going into Buffalo against that defense and winning, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, good luck.
You know, good luck. If Tom Brady struggled, because a 43-year-old declining Tom Brady is better than a Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer at their best.
For sure.
And, you know, you don't have a running game. You know, Sony Michel's knees are like 70 years old. You know, there's just always something wrong. He's slow. You know, Damian Harris could be a breakout if they decide to use him. You still got James White. I mean, Julian Edelman's 34 years old. You don't have a solid tight end. You have no receivers. I mean, they're not going to score points against this Buffalo defense. So I think Buffalo's going to win this game by a lot. You know, I think the defense is still good. So I think they'll win like 17-7, 20-13, you know, something fairly legitimate.
Yeah, I mean, I see the Bills winning as well. The Patriots are obviously not what they, you know, once were. I saw that, you know, Tom Brady's last, you know, two or three games were all losses. You know, one in Miami, you know, one in the playoffs, and I forgot what the other one was. But, you know, it's definitely going downhill in New England. We'll see how Bill Belichick does with that team, how he, you know, prepares them for, you know, all these games. And, the Bills having that good of a defense and having nothing on offense for New England, you know, yeah, I could see Buffalo, you know, scoring some points on this New England defense and getting the win here by, like you said, a lot. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
We still have yet to see Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. You know, yeah, we've seen him for a few games, but we haven't seen a full season.
Right. You know,
not many people know this, but when he was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns for 5 years, and he coached there for 80 games. You know, he didn't have Tom Brady. He went 36-44. He only won 45% of his games. It was nothing special. And when he took over in New England in 2000, they went 5-11. That was with Drew Bledsoe at quarterback. And then the very next year is when Brady was Bledsoe's backup. They went 0-2. Brady came in, I believe, week 2 against the Jets. And then once Brady became quarterback, they went 11-5. And then they went and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how Bill Belichick does without Brady in that system for 20 years. You know, Brady could have a decline in Tampa Bay, you know, because he's not using the same system. But, I mean, not saying he is a system quarterback. I think he's, you know, beyond that. He's, you know, one of the GOATs. If he is a system quarterback, figure out the system then.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to struggle, I think, in Tampa Bay, even if he's, like, not what he once was. I mean, just having weapons such as Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Minnesota's Tyler Johnson now. You got Gronk, you got O.J. Howard. You know, you don't really have a running game, but, you know, there's still enough weapons to succeed over there.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay's got a good defense as well. You know, got Antoine Winfield.
Number one against the run last year. Yeah, not many people know this either. The Buccaneers had the number one rush defense last year in football.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that. So that's pretty interesting. You know, they could keep that up again and have it again, or top five at least. All right. And then we'll go to the next game, another home game, the second one, versus Seattle at home, November 8th.
Yeah, you know, this one I think is going to be a loss. You know, Russell Wilson is still Russell Wilson. You know, Buffalo's not going to win every home game. But, you know, I think Seattle's going to pound the rock. You know, they're usually one of the top teams rushing per year. They added Carlos Hyde. You got Rashad Penny, who should hopefully be activated because he's expected to be on the PUP list to start the season. But then, you know, you still got Chris Carson. And I like their weapons, you know. You added Greg Olsen at tight end. You have Philip Dorsett you added as well as probably their third receiver to go with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So they're going to put up points. And if I had to choose, is Josh Allen going to win a shootout against Russell Wilson? Absolutely not. And Seattle's still going to have a top 10 to 12 defense. So, you know, I think this will be maybe a little trap game. And I think Buffalo is going to fall just short at home here.
Yeah, I have Buffalo losing as well to the Seattle Seahawks. You know, assuming everybody stays healthy on the Seahawks, I could see them, you know, not easily winning this game, but, you know, maybe securely, you know, getting a W here. So, like you said, Buffalo's not going to win every single home game, but this one they could definitely lose. And then another thing about Seattle, their defense is not what it once was. I don't know if it's gotten any better since last year. I don't remember who all signed there.
They lost Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, their defense, I mean, they might bring him back. You know, we don't really know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm looking at their depth chart here, and, you know, we don't know what's going on with Quinton Dunbar. He's supposed to be their second cornerback on the outside. With the whole thing that just went down.
Oh, yeah.
The whole bank robbery thing. So we don't know what's going to go. He might be suspended by the league indefinitely. We don't know. I mean, their defensive line is nothing special. They have Bruce Irvin, Puna Ford, Jaron Reed, Benson Mayowoa. That's their front four. That's nothing special. And then your linebacking core is KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, and Jordan Brooks, who was their first-round pick from Texas Tech. Then their secondary is going to be Shaquille Griffin, Quinton Dunbar, assuming he's not suspended, or Trey Flowers. Then you're going to have Bradley McDougal and Quandre Diggs. You know, their defense is in another rebuild.
Yeah, we'll see how their defense does. You know, when they traded for Diggs, or I don't know if they traded for him, but they got Diggs last year.
Yeah, Quandre Diggs. Yeah, they traded him in like week 5 or 6.
Yeah, something like that. When they traded for him, you know, they boosted up their defense just a little bit. Just having that, you know, I wouldn't say media core, but, you know, an average, you know, safety, especially after losing Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor from years past. I mean, I guess that was an upgrade over who they had before, I would say. But, yeah, both L's for the Bills. And then the next week before the bye week, they got at the Arizona Cardinals.
This is actually another tough game because, you know, I think the Cardinals are a lot better with the acquisition of DeAndre Hopkins. You have a full season with Kenyon Drake, you know, so they got weapons. You know, you got Christian Kirk, you got Larry Fitz, you got another guy in Andy Isabella. You know, they didn't really improve the offensive line. I won't be shocked if Arizona wins this game. just because, you don't know what you're getting out of Buffalo on the road. Kyler Murray could really break out this year. Arizona's one of the favorites to be this year's breakout candidate team. But, just to be safe, I'm going to give Buffalo the win because I trust their defense. And Kyler Murray's still just so young. So, I think that's going to be a win. They're going to be 7-4 here, I believe, going into the bye.
Yeah, I can always count that up, too. You have 7 wins and 3 losses so far going into the bye. For Arizona, I also have the Bills winning that one. Arizona's offense is, if they get that going, especially early, they can be so lethal with, Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitz, Christian Kirk, Kenyon Drake. All they need is just a real solid, good tight end, and that offense can be real, real lethal.
And you also have their defense is, it's on its way with them taking Isaiah Simmons. You have one of the best, I think the most underrated pass rusher in the league in Chandler Jones, who no one ever seems to talk about. The way Bears fans and the media talks about Khalil Mack is how they should be talking about Chandler Jones. Book this guy in for 17 sacks a season. And they're also in talks right now for Everson Griffin. Don't know why they would bring him when they run a 3-4. Maybe they'll move Griffin inside, would be my guess. But, that team is kind of coming together.
Yeah. With Isaiah Simmons, I'm high on him. He'll be like a nice hybrid, kind of like how we use Harrison Smith, at the box, at safety, slot corner maybe. So we'll see how they use him in Arizona. So, going into the bye, we both have W's.
Yep.
All right, and then let's see. After the bye week, they got the Los Angeles. Let's see. It doesn't really say here. Oh, Chargers. Okay.
This is going to be an easy win. If you have 2 weeks to prepare for either a rookie quarterback or Tyrod Taylor, I think you're in very good shape. I think the Chargers easily have a top 5 defense on paper, but I just think that offense is going to be in a little bit of a learning curve, especially if Justin Herbert's the quarterback, because I don't believe in Austin Eckler as a full down back.
Yeah.
I think he was good mixed with Melvin Gordon. Justin Jackson or Joshua Kelly, who they drafted, I don't think those guys could fill the Melvin Gordon hole.
No. And
Eckler's not getting 250 touches. He might not even get 200 rushes on the season. So, I just think the Chargers are about a year or two away from really, really being dominant. So I think this is going to be a very easy win for Buffalo, and especially at home. I think they can win 31-10, I think they could just blow them out. So at this point, I have them going 8-3 with a victory over the Chargers.
Okay, yeah. I have an easy W here for the Bills, especially at home against the Chargers. The Chargers were never really good on the road, I don't think, but... their defense is still okay. They're probably just a quarterback, maybe a running back away from being a really good team in a couple of years. But we'll see how Herbert does, especially this late in the year, middle to late. Or if Tyrod Taylor's starting, who knows? But one thing, though, with those Chargers uniforms, how do you think those are?
They actually look fairly similar to the Rams. I'm not a fan of either of the LA jerseys. I'm not a big fan. I was a big favorite of the Falcons and the Bucks because, they didn't look ridiculous.
Right.
So, I think they're okay. I don't think it's going to affect our win total.
No. They'll just look good. That's all.
Yeah.
All right. And then we'll move on to a December game, December 7th at San Francisco 49ers.
This is a loss. The 49ers are phenomenal. They're loaded from top to bottom. This team is so good. We saw how they dominated the Vikings in the divisional round.
Yep.
Josh Allen's not going in the San Francisco. Is Jimmy G an elite quarterback? No. Can he win? Can he be a game manager? Absolutely. You're getting another year out of Debo Samuel. You still got George Kittle. You added Trent Williams, who's an upgrade over Joe Staley. But you trade away DeForest Buckner for the 13th overall pick. and you draft the guy who's almost a splitting image of DeForest Buckner and Javon Kinlaw. So, I mean, if you have a defensive line of Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, I believe Solomon Thomas, and then Javon Kinlaw, I mean, have a fun day if you don't have a top five offensive line.
Right, yeah.
Secondary is good with Sherman. I mean, this is going to be an L, and it could get ugly.
Yeah, I also have the Bills losing. I think it will be a closer game than a lot of people think. I do see the 49ers having a little bit of a downfall this year just because of, you know, some missing pieces.
Ayuk, and then, you know, Ayuk's a big deep threat that they took in the first round.
Yeah, yep. I know they traded, I think it was Marquise Lee to the Patriots. So
Marquise Goodwin.
That's it.
They traded him to the Eagles. For like a fifth round pick at the time.
Yeah. 49ers, yeah, I do see a step back from them. So I do see the Bills squeaking this one by, but it is a tough environment to play in San Francisco, especially the last couple playoff games. You know, at home against the Vikings, at home against the Packers. So
they just dominated. They're just a nasty team from top to bottom.
For sure, especially that running attack. You know, that helps out Jimmy Garoppolo quite a bit.
Yeah, and then what really shocked me was when they dealt Matt Breida away to the Dolphins.
Yeah.
For a fifth-round pick. Because I was like, you know, Matt Breida might have been the best back out there. You know, Mostert would have, you know, big runs here and there, but they must really believe in Jerick McKinnon. You know, he restructured. He still hasn't played a game after signing a huge contract at the time.
Yeah.
And the rumors were going around that Tevin Coleman was going to be the odd man out. So I guess they decided to keep him, and then they, boom, they went and they dealt Matt Breida away.
Yeah, you know, it's still a good running back duo in San Francisco. So assuming Jerick McKinnon, you know, stays healthy, we'll see how he does in San Francisco. Should help out that offense quite a bit. So I guess we'll move on to Sunday, December 13th versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, so this one's going to be at home. They won last year 17-10. I know Ben Roethlisberger wasn't the quarterback, but, you know, just the fact that they could do that off on the road makes me fairly confident that they're going to win at home. You know, I think Big Ben's towards the end. At this point, James Conner might not even be healthy. He'll probably be on IR. You know, Juju's good, but he's not a number one. He'll always be a number two to me.
Yeah.
You know, Deontay Johnson could break out. Who knows? They drafted Chase Claypool, who they don't even know if he's a wide receiver. Is he a tight end? You know, it's those kind of players are not good to add if you don't know where to put them. The defense is top five, no doubt. So, I mean, Pittsburgh could win this game. But, I mean, they would have to hold Josh Allen to 140 yards like they did last year in Pittsburgh. And they're going to have to score some points. But I don't see Buffalo losing at home with that defense. They're tough.
Yeah, I also see the Bills winning against the Steelers here. You know, if Josh Allen can throw, you know, more than, you know, 200 yards, I would say, I mean, that'd be a safe win there. Assuming everybody's healthy. Steelers, yeah, James Conner could be on IR. Ben could be on IR. Who knows with this Steelers team, but their defense is good. You know, when they traded for Fitzpatrick, that defense just went, you know, their stock went real high. So,
yeah, I mean, they have an excellent core. I mean, if you could talk about a defense and say, yeah, for the next 10 years, we're going to have Minkah Fitzpatrick, we're going to have Devin Bush, and we're going to have TJ Watt. Like, you know, just those three guys are complete difference makers, and all three have the potential to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, for sure. You know, make their Pro Bowls too, and, you know, get some big contracts in the future. And, you know, that's a good core to have in Pittsburgh. All right. And then we'll move on to, it says here, December 19th or December 20th at Denver.
That'll be an afternoon game. It says to be determined on ESPN, but that'll be like a 3 o'clock game.
Yeah.
You know, Denver's tough at home. You know, Denver's one of the toughest teams in football when they're home. And, you know, I think this is going to be a loss. I think the Bills are going to lose because, you know, I think Denver has got something special. You know, the defense is in a rebuild, but that offense, I mean, there's weapons everywhere. Drew Lock looks promising. You added Melvin Gordon to go with Phillip Lindsay in the backfield. And you also have Royce Freeman as your third guy if you really needed him. And then you got Courtland Sutton, who I think's proven to be a number one wide receiver. You added Jerry Jeudy in the first round. Jerry Jeudy is a number one receiver all day long on any NFL team. And then they drafted a speedster in round two right after with KJ Hamler. Then you got another breakout candidate in Noah Fant at tight end. You know, just, I mean, there's just weapons for Drew Lock all around, you know. Like, Denver's not messing around, you know. They really want to compete with Kansas City this year. The offensive line's still a work in progress. You know, your defense, as long as you have Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, and, you know, they traded for A.J. Boye. They got a good safety in Justin Simmons. So the team's on paper. That's a 10-win team on paper. And I don't see Buffalo being able to go in and win. I just don't.
Yeah, no, I have Buffalo losing as well, you know, against Denver. Hopefully Denver can, you know, get something going towards the end of the season here, you know, make a push for the playoffs. I mean, with that division being the Chiefs, the Raiders, Broncos, and Chargers, I see maybe Denver making that number two spot, maybe squeaking into the playoffs, especially with the new format for the playoffs, you know, seven teams. And
yep, you know, only one bye week.
Yeah, maybe Denver can squeak in there and get second, maybe even first place if the Chiefs do have a, you know, Super Bowl hangover. So see how.
Yeah, I mean, for that to happen, Mahomes might need to be down for the year, kind of like last year where he missed like five or six games.
Right. You know, but still, you know, they still made the Super Bowl, still won it. So
yep,
we'll see how that division does.
Yep.
All right. Second to last game, Monday night against the New England Patriots. At Patriots.
Again, you know, it's another road game. You know, I actually think New England could win this game just because, you know, New England's fairly tough at home. And, you know, these teams, I don't know, because even Brady, as mediocre as he was last season, he wasn't that great, and they barely won these games. But, you know, I think I'm going to give New England the victory here. You know, it's prime time, you know, by this time. Either, like, they're going to have it figured out, or Stidham or Hoyer, or who knows, maybe even Cam Newton if they decide to sign him, but it's unlikely if they start struggling early in the year. So I think, either way, you know, it's another road game. Bills haven't proven to me they can win on the road consistently. So I'm going to give it a loss here to the New England Patriots, and it'll be close. It'll be like a 21-17, 21-14 type of game.
Oh, for sure, especially, you know, the Bills at New England. New England, I think, will always be a tough place to play with or without Brady, you know, with or without Belichick. So we'll see how the Patriots do this year, like I said before. So, yeah, I see the Bills also beating the Patriots here. So I think that's pretty much to say about New England and the Bills. So I guess we'll move on to 2021, January 3rd, at home against Miami.
Yeah, I think they'll blow out Miami here. You know, Tua will probably be in at this point, but, you know, he's going to have a long day against that Buffalo defense. And I think the Bills are going to go into the playoffs strong. They want to finish the year with a strong win. So I'm going to go with a blowout here, like a 31-10, 31-14 type of game. And that should wrap up the division title for them, I believe.
Yeah, if I counted this all correctly, you have the Bills going 11-5. And then I also have the Bills going 11-5. So, yeah, I could see 11-5 for the Bills, you know, winning the division, especially over the Jets, Patriots, and Dolphins. So,
yeah, when it's all said and done, you know, they'll probably win the division like with a 10-6, 9-7 record. There's always something that could go wrong.
Yeah, for sure. You know,
either way, they're a playoff team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I do see them winning their division, though, for the Bills. So, unless Miami comes in by storm or the Jets, I don't see any other team really taking their place. So,
yeah, I mean, we can't really count out the Patriots ever because of Bill Belichick and stuff. But I mean, it should, that just looking at that, just at the quarterback position, you know, even if they sign someone average, I would say, you know what, that's a 10-6 team, booking for the playoffs. But you know, if you had to put your faith in Stidham or Hoyer, it's just too hard. Where they're almost going to try to land a. They won't get the first pick, but, you know, maybe they'll land a Fields from Ohio State, or, you know, Trey Lance from North Dakota State. You know, his name's coming up a lot.
Yeah.
Or maybe they pull a trade next offseason for Matthew Stafford. You know, who knows?
Well, for sure. You know, anything could happen with these New England Patriots. You know, they could tank for, you know, Trevor Lawrence, get another know, Hall of Fame quarterback possibly for that franchise, and, you know, win him a couple more Super Bowl rings.
Team stuff.
I mean, it's not too far off, but, you know, it could happen. It could never happen. Who knows? So, yeah, so let's move on to next question here. Guaranteed wins. Who do you have?
I think the Jets both times will be a guaranteed win. When they're home from Miami, it'll be a win. And those are probably the one that I could guarantee where I'm willing to put money on. Like, guaranteed it's going to win. Like, someone's like, hey, you have 20 bucks. What's your guaranteed win? You know, I'm going to say this game here. Like, just those teams, just because they are so bad right now. Okay. Where the Bills are just years beyond better.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I have, you know, it could be, you know, the Jets, the Dolphins. For my guaranteed, just like a single win, I would probably have the Chargers here at home against the Chargers. I feel like that win could,
yeah,
could easily be in the Bills' hands here. So only time will tell. Okay. Then,
absolutely.
Then we'll move on to guaranteed losses.
San Francisco. I think that's a guaranteed loss. I think everyone would agree outside of, well, besides Buffalo fans, of course. But, you know, I think San Francisco is a guaranteed loss. And that's probably the only one I can say that I'm fairly confident that they'll lose.
Okay. Yeah. The one that really pops out or catches my eye is, you know, at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. Depending if the Chiefs will have a Super Bowl hangover or not, I still see them as, you know, a pretty dominant team. So, yeah, I just have the Bills losing that one for a guaranteed loss. Yeah, otherwise, I don't see really any more. Maybe the San Francisco game, like you said, but, yeah, only time will tell.
Yep.
All right, second to last question here. Longest win streak.
Yeah, I think we're both going to agree with this one. I think the first three games of the year, we both have them going 3-0.
Yeah.
So I think that'll probably be their longest win streak. Other than that, I can't see many. You know, it's possible that they could go 3-0 to end the year at Denver, at New England, home for Miami. Probably not going to happen. But, you know, that would be the only other scenario I could really see.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. First 3 weeks of the season are pretty easy, and then, you know, it could possibly be first 4 weeks, depending on, you know, if everything is all meshed together well with the Bills, and whatever happens, I guess.
Absolutely.
All right, and then last question here. Longest losing streak, if they have one.
If they have one, you know, it'll only be two games. You know, maybe at Denver and at New England to end the year. That's really the only losing streak for week 4 and 5. If they lose to the Raiders and Titans, you know, it's not going to be more than two games.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Definitely not going to be more than two games unless everything absolutely falls apart. And, you know, it's kind of like last year's Browns where, you know, they kind of had like, quote unquote, dream team. And then, you know, nothing mesh well together. So I don't see that happening with the Bills, though. I see them as a good team. But, you know, maybe versus Pittsburgh and then at Denver, maybe. Or
yep.
At San Francisco versus Pittsburgh, at Denver, at New England, maybe as a 4-loss win streak or losing streak. But, yeah, no more than 2 losses, I don't think. So I think that's pretty much it for the Bills schedule. If you have anything else to add, now's your time.
The only thing I think I'd want to add maybe is for maybe some breakout candidates for the Bills, I would say, you know, Josh Allen.
Okay.
You know, he had 9 rushing touchdowns last season. You know, I won't be shocked if he breaks out this year and becomes one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
But, keep an eye on Devin Singletary. You know, he reminds me a lot of Darren Sproles, but I think he's more explosive. And I think he's more of a running back than more than a weapon. So, you know, I could see him getting just over 1,000 yards and get really involved in the pass game. You know, Dawson Knox is a tight end as well that not many people are talking about. And, you know, I was very high on him when he was coming out of Ole Miss. So, I think those three players right there could be people that could be players that no one's really expecting to do a, to do better than they're expected to do. You know, I think they all could be studs.
Yeah, like you said, with Josh Allen, now that he has, you know, I would say a number one wide receiver, I mean, he could definitely be a breakout candidate and, you know, really open some eyes to other people and, you know, possibly be in that MVP conversation, you know, make a Pro Bowl and whatever he wants to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, he's got all the weapons in the world to just to at least, I mean, he has no excuses. No, they've got a solid run game in Zach Moss and Devin Singletary for the next few years. But, I mean, you got John Brown, one of the league's best deep threats. You have, of course, Stephon Diggs. And then you have Cole Beasley in the slot. You know, Beasley was their number one guy last year. And he was, and, you know, he's not a number one guy. And Stephon Diggs, his best is his intermediate routes. And Josh Allen, that's his best. That's his best skill set is starting intermediate routes. Was the main reason that they traded for Stephon Diggs, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. I think that's pretty much it for Bills 2020 schedule and everything else. So I think we should wrap it up here. So if you guys did enjoy this podcast, make sure you guys rate us on whatever you're listening to. Support us. And then I think next podcast will be the Denver Broncos, so make sure you guys tune in then. We'll get some notes and stuff with that. That'll be a pretty interesting team to talk about.
Yeah, the Broncos are definitely one of the most exciting teams that people are going to be waiting to watch this year.
Right. Yeah, so if you guys that sounds interesting to you, I mean, it does to us, so make sure you guys tune in for the next podcast. We'll tweet it out on at First Down Marker on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, stuff like that. So, yeah, make sure you guys also follow Thomas Gorski 33 on Twitter. He'll be joining us through all these teams. So,
yep.
Yeah, make sure you guys go follow him, and we will see you for the next episode. Peace out.